Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. A Dara Stammer and Ryan Clary production. Back in, I won't say better than ever, but better than we've been at times, for sure, I think. What are you eating over there? You got a little...
A little gumbo.
Little gumbo. What's the white thing on the top of the gumbo?
That's your potato salad, which goes right in the gumbo.
Okay. Looks delicious. We are taking your calls right now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We are asking you guys, we'll play the clip one more time, then we're going to get into the calls. Do you believe what Ron Rivera is saying? The Commanders got off to a really bad start this year. They were, at one point in time, 1-4 before ripping off now 6 of their last 7. To get to 7-5. He is essentially saying that they were going to be the team that you're seeing right now in this run, running the ball, being run dominant, playing these close to the vest, 17-15, 19-17 kind of games. That was always the plan. This was always what they were going to be. When Brian Robinson got shot, they weren't able to do that for about a month. Then they had to wait a couple weeks for him to get up to speed. And essentially what he is saying without saying it, Brian Robinson's the key to the whole season. Not Taylor Heinicke, not Woody O'Goody, nobody else, just Brian Robinson is the key to the whole renaissance, the whole deal, because now they can run with multiple running backs. I also would say to that, Jonathan Williams is pretty good. I'm not saying he's Brian Robinson, but you couldn't have done the Jonathan Williams, Antonio Gibson show and just tried that in September against Jacksonville. I think you probably could have. I don't know if it would have worked as well, but you could have tried that. Your point is just... you don't want to do this and spend all that money on quarterback only to go back to the guy now who is already here. You don't want to do this and with a top 20 pick, draft a wide receiver rather than a guard or a tackle or someone like a tight end who can block as well or a defensive player to win 17-15 games.
Right. We've all got our hangups. I get hung up when I see something that's so patently 100% untrue and everyone glosses over it. I stand in the middle of the street pointing at the thing. With my arm, with shooting flare guns up in the air until everybody comes and agrees with me. Then we can move on. This is so intuitive and obvious to me. Now, it doesn't discredit the coaching job that he's done. I'm not knocking that. That's good. Your best chance to win is to do what you're doing. Yes, good job, Coach Ron Rivera. But after that sentence of good job, Coach Rivera, new paragraph, indent tab. Terrible offseason. If this was your plan, you didn't execute it at all. If this was your plan, you should have A, started this way, B, not drafted a wide receiver that has gotten 4 targets combined over the last 3 weeks, who is now a glorified blocker in your run game, who gets supplanted in terms of snap counts by, you know, a third string, non-productive tight end here, there, and everywhere. You don't go out and spend on quarterback and tell everybody, the entire world, that this was the key. Now we can do what we want. The playbook is now open. You're saying... my plan all along was to close the playbook, was to not have an open playbook, was to close it and limit it and do this. That's a lie. That's not true. I don't, and the motivation as to why you spout that to me, I have to get to the bottom of that. I think it's to say, look how smart I am. Look how much of a genius I am. Look at how good we've done. The only thing that held us back was this tragic incident with Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson was always going to play. That's not the issue. He was going to be the starting running back out of training camp. I believe that. That's true. That's correct. We saw it. We credit Antonio Gibson for rising to this challenge in a weird set of circumstances in his own right. He's done very well. Good for Antonio Gibson. That's not the point. The idea that they were always going to be this grounded, pounded, run-first team that was going to try to win 16-14 is wrong. They literally tried to be different, couldn't do it for a million different reasons, and now we're doing it again.
All right, let's play the clip one final time, and then we're going to hit the phones hard. So 800-636-1067, you want to get in. This was Rivera, 33rd team, Dave Wannstedt.
That's exactly what the plan was going to be coming out of training camp, but then we had that crazy situation with Brian Robinson where he gets shot and wounded basically misses the first 4 weeks. If people went back and looked at what we had done in the preseason, we were telling people what we were going to be. We were going to be a run-oriented offense. B-Rob had a great training camp, had very good preseason, and then that bad situation comes up where he gets shot. And so it took him 4 weeks before he was back on the field playing for us, but it's taken him an additional 2 or 3 weeks before he really started to get in sync with the program and understanding, what he needed to do as a runner for us. And our success, in my opinion, has really taken off as we've been able to recommit to the run. I believe in a two-back situation. You can't have just one primary back and feed him. You got to have two dynamic backs. One guy that's a good power, physical guy that's got some quickness to him. And another one's got to be a little bit of a slasher that's got some hands to him that can be a little bit of a changeup. I had that when I was in Carolina, with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. And I thought if we could emulate that here, that would be a real good thing for us. We went out and did that. We drafted by Brian Robinson, coupled him with Antonio Gibson, and now we're off and running.
What do you think of my case that Rivera wanted to do this, Turner didn't, and after the Wentz injury didn't have a choice, maybe? Or Rivera goes to him at some point and says, here's the deal, dude. My way or no way. Take your choice. I'm not saying it was like a ultimatum, but where he won out a power struggle after Wentz went down and they both kind of agreed there was no way forward doing it the way they were doing it previously with Heinicke.
I could see the pieces fitting there. But again, the thing that is screaming in my face is the offseason. If this was going to be the plan, they wouldn't have done any of that stuff. Right? Like that's what I can't get away from is the moment one was quarterback, that's what we're going after. Ron Rivera letting everybody know. I watched tape on Carson Wentz from the combine. I called every team about their quarterback. We made offers. We got rejected. Whatever. We went after a quarterback. You wouldn't have done any of that. You would have just gone with some jag to hand it off 30 times a game. That's what you would have done if this is what you wanted to be. You would have beefed up the offensive line. You might have thinking about giving Scherf a contract or change things this way and that way. You would not have done what you did if this was the plan. I refuse to accept that.
Let's go to the phones. Ryan starts it off in Culpeper on G&D. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, Ryan.
Guys, I'm telling the truth, and that doesn't happen very often, okay? The plan all along was Haskins, Allen, Fitzpatrick, Smith, Wentz, and then we had a plan. It was to trade up and get Micah Parsons, and then we had a plan to draft Justin Herbert, but we passed on him. But look how good I did on the running backs. Look how good I did great on the running backs. The part that made me the most mad was he coached at Carolina. Guys, did you know he coached at Carolina for multiple years?
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's news to me. But yeah, he coached at Carolina. He's a revisionist history. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, Ryan. By the way, we are coming back to Culpeper.
The Pep.
Monday. We're going to be in Culpeper, so get ready. Buffalo Wild Wings will be there from 2 to 6:30. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, Kev.
What's up, Kev?
Howdy, boys. So I see it a little bit differently. I want to address the first thing. Danny, your outrage about the offseason, I've had it since the first offseason. And the real outrage is, and the other caller just now kind of referenced it, we chose Haskins and Kyle Allen instead of either Tua or Justin Herbert. We chose Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of possibly trading up for Fields or Mac Jones. We chose Dotson instead of drafting Kenny Pickett. We have not had the right plan at quarterback from day effing one. And that's, I think, more than anything, what you're really outraged about, because he did brag about all the scouting he done on Wentz, et cetera, et cetera. So I get all of that. And that I think we're in alignment there. The thing that I also think, though, that happened, and Grant touched upon it, I spoke to Ryan about it when I was on hold, is I don't think Rivera's wanted to chuck it all over the yard in September. I think that's Turner. And I think there was a coming together, a meeting of the minds, a come to Jesus, a trip to the woodshed, whatever you want to call it. But after that Vikings loss, when we did some stupid things, in my opinion, in play calling, where we had obvious opportunities to convert, I think Ron and Scott had to sit down. You saw then the total Neanderthal playbook against the Philadelphia Eagles that worked, and you've seen it for three straight weeks, that we can pound the rock like they did with Thomas and Williams in Carolina, and he's feeling himself. Yeah, is he spinning it? Absolutely. But I don't think he's entirely wrong. What he's been entirely wrong about is quarterback, and he's lucky as hell that Heineke has saved him for parts of 3 years now. It's unbelievable.
Appreciate you, dude.
He should love Taylor Heineke, because if the bottom fell out in any of these times, that would have been really ugly. In fact, we were trending in that direction this season, where you had a lot of people calling in who were already calling for his job that were really upset. They've won 6 of 7 since. I mean, not only is he not on the hot seat, I mean, he's in great shape to keep all of his power in the front office moving into the offseason, and they won't have to change anything probably if he doesn't want to. They very well might have 10 or, I don't think 11, but it's possible, 11 wins for the first time since they last won a Super Bowl and make the playoffs, which they have not done since 2015. Maybe even win a playoff game, which they haven't done since 2005. But it does feel a little bit like they stubbed their toe into it. And what a lot of us predicted is coming to fruition, which was the stars would align with the schedule. And it's not even that they're playing teams that might be as easy a matchup as we thought.
Yeah, it's not 2020 all over again, but it's closer to that than it is this group is awesome.
Correct. But here's the great benefit. Nobody's that awesome.
Right. That's true. That's the league now.
The one seed in the conference they just beat.
Yep.
I don't know if they'd beat them again, but they beat them once.
They did.
And the 2 seed in the conference they had on the ropes and were up by 10 against.
Had them dead to rights.
A few weeks ago as well. There's no one that's great. Which was why I wanted to do something completely different this offseason anyway. And why I screamed into a megaphone, the conference is there for you, man. Like, make moves, be aggressive, spend money. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was Dan Snyder. Maybe he has no cash because we now know he owes people money and he's trying to maybe sell the team. That, I think, has really opened my eyes to why the offseason was so terrible, in my opinion. Mm. Let's go to Clay in North Carolina. Hey, Clay, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Just wanted to my two cents on this was, first of all, I think Ron needs to change career paths and go into politics because I think he does a great job of not taking responsibility when he's wrong and you know, riding the high wave.
The media tour now, winners of 6 of 7 yesterday.
You know what you're doing. You get a good stock market report, you walk out and puff your chest
exactly.
out.
Yeah, exactly. No, my two cents was, I don't think it was your guys' show, but it was definitely either the Junkies or B. Mitch and Finley where Pete Haley came on in training camp back in late July, early August, and everyone's asking, like, how does Wentz look with the new receivers, like with Dotson, and how's he gelling with everyone? And I remember Pete saying, like, you know, everything's good, but these coaches really do believe we're going to be able to run the ball. And we had just lured J.D. McKissic back from trying to sign with Buffalo, so that was big. So in the beginning, I think there was this thought we were going to have a three-headed monster in the backfield, not run so much as what we've been doing, but I think we were planning to lean on the run more than what we did in the first few weeks, because the first few weeks was just literally pass as often as possible. And that didn't work. So I think there was supposed to be a mix of the two. But now I don't think the game plan was supposed to be run 45 times. But
I think it's very well put. No, I appreciate you. I buy. People are conflating this. I think Brian Robinson was going to start and was going to receive touches.
There's no debate about that.
He was going to carry the football. I'm not saying they would never have run it. What I'm saying is this identity that they've established where Carson Wentz in a back-and-forth game threw 41 times in week number one. That's not... This is different than that. You watch the football games, you'll understand that. You'll see that. It's clear, right? It's a different philosophy. This group is running it on first, running it on second, setting up third, manageable, trying to win that way. And they're doing it right now. That's how they're best served. They didn't believe they were best served playing this style of football when they had Carson Wentz under center. That's what the offseason reflected. That's what the beginning of the year reflected. When you've got 9 months between games, and you open up, this is who we think we are right now. When you find out that you're not, you adjust. They've adjusted very well and correctly. They deserve credit for that. But you can't tell me that that was the plan all along. It diminishes the coaching job and maximizes the, look how great an executive I am, guys. I should probably keep all this power this coming off season.
So we're on record here. I'll reiterate for people that are just jumping in their cars. I am not bothered by this. I think this is what coaches do. I think, you know, you're coming out basically after the rain when it's sunny out and you're going, look what I did. The sun's here. Yeah. Okay. That's definitely what's happening. But where I will agree with you is if their plan was to be this run heavy, run first, run dominant team, they should have gone and gotten Marcus Mariota like the Falcons did, who actually had that plan, who have actually executed that plan, and who Mariota has actually improved by way of his ability to go read option and do some of the stuff he does.
You're right.
It would have cost no money. You would have had a 7-5 record or better right now, probably, and you could have gotten him at 10 cents on the dollar for Carson Wentz. I would say the same about Mitch Trubisky, by the way. If you wanted to be this run-first team, Rivera tried to trade for Russell Wilson, dude. They offered 3 firsts. I know they did. I've confirmed that with high-ranking officials in that building. Did they try to trade for Russell Wilson for 3 first-round picks so they could run the ball?
Run the dang ball.
I'll bet you they didn't, right? They supposedly, according to Adam Schefter, had a deal in place for Garoppolo at close to $30 million a year. Now, as you see with San Francisco, you're at your best when he's game managing and you have a healthy balance and you're running a bunch. I'm not saying you sling it around with him, but what I am telling you is there were cheaper, more economical and efficient, better roster-building ways to go about this than spending all the money and the picks that you did on Wentz. So if it's true that this was your master plan, the quarterback trade is even worse than any of us have said that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trubisky running some read option, basically as a rich man's Heinicke or a Heinicke light or whatever you want to call him, I would say he's a better version of Heinicke as a former top five pick, but he's on the bench, and Heinicke right now is playing for a team that's winning. He was there for nothing, for peanuts. You should have gone and gotten Tyrod Taylor. And by the way, I would have hated any of those moves because I didn't want to do this run thing, score 17 points thing again. I'm not really interested in it. I'm interested in winning, and they're doing that, so God bless them for now. But my point is, Tyrod Taylor would have cost you $5 million.
Right.
And you do exactly what the Falcons do. You run read option, you let him run for 40, you let Robinson run for 100, you let Gibson run for 60, and you're number two in the league in rushing, and you go 10-7 or 9-8. If that's what you wanted to do. But I think they had some
delusions of grandeur. Yeah, they went and got another receiver. The first round pick to me is every bit as telling as anything else.
That's fair too, because that could be a guard, which they need. That could be a tackle, because they want to kick Cosme into guard. By the way, I'm excited for this weekend.
Cosme's playing guard, bro.
Cosme's going to play right guard. Lucas is going to play right tackle, and I know that they want Cosme to be their guard moving forward. My prediction is he'll be their starting right guard next year. They'll draft the tackle.
Tough game to get tested. It's the NFL. There's no easy week, so to speak, but pretty good interior defensive line there.
Totally. We'll see what happens. But if you wanted to, you could have drafted a tackle in the first round, kicked Cosme into guard, and just had a better offensive line for your run-heavy look. I guess the only difference between us is you care a lot that he's saying this or that maybe it's misleading. And on a scale of 1 to 10, like, what would you say you care?
8.
Yeah, for me, it's a 1.5, which is not to belittle the conversation as much as to say, I think you're probably right that he's not telling the truth, but it doesn't matter to me. I think this is what coaches do.
Yeah. Well,
and they pounce on whatever they can pounce on.
Yeah, guys that are really media savvy like this one. What's the point of him going on the media tour? To let everybody know, I'm doing an awesome job. Just keep my rep, bro.
Well, why not? I mean,
I guess.
They're rolling, dude.
They are.
Why? It's a Tuesday. It's an off day. You might as well go talk to Jim Rome. I mean, he wasn't doing that when they were 1-4.
No.
And he shouldn't. Let's go to Gary and Lorton. What's going on, Gary?
What's up, Gary?
How are you?
Hey, what's up, fella?
Man.
Hey, Danny, I'm with you like 50%, and I say that because I don't think maybe with Carson Wentz, you know, his rep coming there, I think it's, you know, could it be possible that they didn't really know going in what they were going to be, whether we were going to chuck it all around the yard, whether we were going to have to run the ball, and then, like you say, circumstances, you know, made them have to run the ball, but Let's just say for argument's sake, wouldn't it be a good idea, maybe not to pay that much, but to have a quarterback who has the threat of throwing the ball, taking the top off, like they say, who can throw it over your defense's head? He is a threat to do that, which in essence would help your running game. So I'm not saying, like I said, I'm with you about 50% on it. That was the primary intention was to run the ball.
I like it. So you're saying,
appreciate you.
Is there still value in going to getting Wentz, a la Indianapolis, a run-first team last year? They might have said, we can be the Colts, who, by the way, if they didn't melt down against the Jags in a better conference last year, the AFC,
win 10 games during the postseason. Yeah.
You know, we win 10-7, we go 11-6, doing it the exact same way, that could work. To that, I would say the Jahan Dotson pick kind of flies in the face of that a little bit, because you probably would rather beef up that defense or that line. Lewis is in the city. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, I wanted to say that I think he's dealing with the hand that he was dealt. I mean, listen, when Carson Wentz left the Eagles, he had 17 interceptions over the year. So
17 against for Philly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So the Colts, the Eagles are in a different division than the Colts. He didn't know what he was actually going to get with Carson Wentz. He thought he had something big. You know, if you guys used to use the analogy, if you ever played cards, if you played spades before, sometimes you might think you got a good hand, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, I thought that ace was going to walk, and then somebody cuts it, and then you don't have the books that you normally get. To use that analogy, he thought he had a good hand. And you know what? Now he's having to play with the hand he was dealt. And in this league, you have to be able to run the ball, whether you're Hurts running the ball for 150 yards or whether you're a running back running the ball for 150 yards.
So here's the only problem with kind of that analysis is,
thanks, dude,
the 15 picks, which led the NFL, which was the only time he'd done that at any point in the last 6 years. So his interception total since his rookie year, 7, 7, 7, 15, 7, and then this year, 6. He's actually never really been a big-time interception guy. But the 1 year with Philly where it all fell apart and he was broken and he got sacked the most times in the league, 50, and he led the league in picks and he was terrible and they ran him out of town, understandably. That year when he had the 15 interceptions, they were not a run-first team. So I think you look at that and say, it's possible that if we put a lot on his shoulders right now, he's going to flounder. But the better example is actually more recently what he was last year in Indy, when they surrounded him, not with any receiving talent necessarily other than Michael Pittman, but with a running game and a defense. So I don't know how much the Philly season that was kind of the one-off in his career really matters a whole lot in the analysis of like what Rivera was projecting.
So the other part I want to jump on is the cards example. If I'm playing cards recreationally or in this capacity from afar, I'm not compensated to tell you what cards are coming. He is. I can't have the, he didn't know what he was getting. I need you to know. That's the future of the franchise, dude. That's the quarterback.
Or if you don't know, you can't give up a 2 or 3 and $28 million a year.
You go all in on a blind? I can't have that.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in. You can also tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. You're locked into the Fan.
That's exactly what the plan was going to be coming out of training camp. But then we had that crazy situation with Brian Robinson where he gets shot and wounded basically misses the first 4 weeks. If people went back and looked at what we had done in the preseason, we were telling people what we were going to be. We were going to be a run-oriented offense. B-Rob had a great training camp, had very good preseason, and then that bad situation comes up where he gets shot. And so it took him 4 weeks before he was back on the field playing for us, but it's taken him an additional 2 or 3 weeks before he really started to get in sync with the program.
Friday means we are winning off the field at 3:45. If you've got something that has happened, little teeny tiny mini moral victory in your day you want to tell us about, you'll be able to do that. Next segment, we're giving away 2 Caps tickets and Beltway Blitzing at 4. Nick Dowd of the Caps joins us at 5, and Howard Cross of Giants Radio stops by to scout the opponent at 5:30. Going to be a busy stretch run on Grant and Danny. You just heard Ron Rivera's comments via the 33rd team, an interview they did with him. He says this was always the plan. They were going to be this run-first team. Do you buy that after they came out trying to sling it after acquiring Carson Wentz and only fell into this after he got hurt? Let's go to Marvin in Landover over by the stadium. What's up, Marvin?
What's up, Marvin?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Hey, yo, Danny, thank you. You are absolutely 100% correct.
Thank you, sir.
I am going to say that he's the worst office executive I've ever seen in the NFL. I don't want to say the worst, but he's pretty bad. Let's just point out the obvious. By choosing Carson Wentz in this direction, he had to give up Matt Ioannidis, Tim Settle, Flowers, and then had to draft a second-round rookie to replace that and give up a second and a third-round pick. That's a heavy price to say that, oh, yeah, I didn't want to throw the ball this year. That's all. It seemed real disingenuous to me. So I was just like, come on now. You wanted to throw the rock. You got hit in the mouth by two sorry veterans that didn't give you anything early in the year. And then you got your quarterback hurt. You have a game manager supreme who takes some chances, team rallies around, and now you can actually go, okay, we want to run the ball to protect him, and that's our plan. That wasn't your original plan. So all this is smoke and mirrors. Stop patting himself on the back, because for real, I'm still trying to figure out what he's done really even for the defense. If I think about it, the whole defensive line was the other administration, and that's the star of his team. I had to wait a year to see a viable football player in Jamin Davis, and he still is just a pup just starting to growl. He hasn't really bared his teeth. Has he made a play? Has he made an interception, a fumble, some kind of play? Like, no. So he's just learning the game still. What is he actually doing? Maybe St. Juice? Maybe. He got McKissick back, which I appreciate because he's a chain mover. But, of course, he's got injured. So I like getting McKissick back. I just see a lot of moves that are – they were to be something, and now he's going to take credit for, like, the other thing happening.
Yeah, the accidental, exactly. Here we are again at last year's team kind of thing. Appreciate the call. I think there's a lot of good points in that. What I always come back to, I don't feel any differently about this front office after this winning streak than I did before. I do really think the coach, or the coaches rather, the staff, that's Del Rio, that's Turner, and that's Rivera, deserve a lot of credit because they kept the train on the tracks where it could have derailed, for sure. But where I come back on the front office all the time to is rank all their best players. The top five is almost exclusively guys they inherited. Their best players this year are Sweat, Payne, Allen, and McLaurin. They've been here 3 years. All four of those guys were handed to them by the Jay Gruden regime. All four of them. And then you could have a debate as to who the fifth guy is. It might be Cam Curl, who they drafted in the seventh, with Kyle Smith's draft board. Now, if you want to give them credit because they were here, you could do that, I suppose. But, I mean, Kyle Smith was their acting draft guy, mm-hmm. GM, so to speak, that offseason. I would say this. Derek Forrest, massive win, fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them that, and they've developed him. Jamin Davis now looks like an NFL linebacker. Last year looked like a liability. Doesn't, to me, look like he's going to be a star, but he's no longer a guy that you watch and say he shouldn't be playing. You got to bench this guy. Shouldn't have picked him in the first round. That'll never look like a win, in my opinion. But at least now you could say, okay, they found a decent football player there. But I think Forrest, if you want to give them Curl, if you want to give them Jamin Davis, they're on the short list.
St. Juice, good early returns here.
St. Juice, fantastic. Might be the best of those young players on defense. But yeah, it's a fairly short list from a front office standpoint. And as they go on this run, best player on the team is John Allen. Second best player on the team is Terry McLaurin. Third best is either Payne or Sweat. The other one is the fourth best. Not one of those guys has been acquired since they got here. That means something to me. Let's go to Darius in D.C. Hey, Darius.
Hey, Granny Danny. So we all know that Ron is a big Panther fan. He loves living in the past. But if you think about it, when trading for Wentz, he wanted to get a quarterback with a big arm, rely on the run game, and have a great defense behind it. That's the same recipe that he rode to the Super Bowl with the Panthers. I believe this is his plan, but he honestly cannot say that because Tyler Heineke is already winning games. So that was started a huge controversy.
Appreciate you, dude.
I don't feel like.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought the train had gotten to the station. The way I would say my response to that is this: it's a reasonable goal, and I applauded them for a lot of what they were trying to do here. And bear with me. I didn't like Wentz. I didn't want Wentz. I thought that was a mistake. Put that aside for a second. The idea to upgrade over Taylor Heinicke, you and I talked about this a million times in the offseason, to want to be able to throw the ball is very reasonable. What's the best way to do that? Acquire a great quarterback. Well, if there's not one available, you get the next best you could. You went from a 5 to a 6 or a 5 to a 7. Who cares? The other part was, get this guy as many weapons as possible. Let's see what happens when you surround them with a matchup advantage. You put Jahan Dotson sometimes in the slot, sometimes Curtis Samuel in the slot. Now these guys are outside. Now you've got, you know, Dotson up against a linebacker sometimes, or against a safety who had to walk down, or a fourth cornerback. I'll take that every time. What part of what I just said had anything to do with running games? Nobody's saying you don't run the ball ever. Of course you want to run the football at times. That's very, very different.
You're also, it sounds like, admitting or at least fine with the fact that they have, like, they, whether they accidentally or meant to get into this subway car, you're agreeing that they should keep driving it, in other words.
Of course.
They're winning.
Here's what happened. There was a house fire. And they go, well, you know, we actually plan to knock down that wall anyway. We can now continue with our addition. Because the fire, you stubbed your toe into this result.
So what you're annoyed by is not that they're winning this way. You're annoyed by the fact that he's acting like this was what they would have been all along anyway.
That's one part. The other part is, this was my biggest frustration for a decade and a half with Ernie Grunfeld and anybody that enabled him, was, look, we were able to get out of this contract. That's a contract you signed him to.
Yeah, you
clogged the toilet, guy, and you're holding the plunger over your head like you're He-Man.
You've spilled. Now you've got the mop in your hand, and you're like, look at me cleaning up all this mess.
I'm very good at cleaning up messes.
Robert, our guy in Dallas, listening for free on the Odyssey.
Roberto.
Always love when we hear from him. What's up, dude?
Man, y'all ain't going to love me today because both of y'all tripping. Okay, we are 7-5 on a football Friday, and I got to hear about some clip that Ron Rivera put and said, oh, this is not the way he wanted to win. Everybody call in, let's rip up the coach. The coach at 7-5. We're playing the Giants 2 weeks in a row with a bye week. Got a chance to really make up some hay right here, and all we want to talk about is what a coach said, and this is not the way he wanted to play. Are we being serious right now? You know, this is what kills me about this. I got San Francisco that's 7-5. We 7-5. San Fran's got a great defense. So do we. We both got human joysticks. Debo Samuel, Curtis Samuel. Both teams try to hide their quarterbacks in the clutch time. But San Francisco's considered Super Bowl favorite. We up here talking about, oh, man, we're just doing this with smoke and mirrors. Hey, man, it don't matter who drafted who. The bottom line is they wearing our uniform. We kicking tail. We about to beat the Giants. And we probably going to sweep them. We're going to be 9-5. And we want to sit there and talk about what Ron Rivera said in the freaking press conference? Man, what are we doing? Listen, I'm going to close by telling you all this. My wife, I love her to death. She grew up on the other side of the tracks. Her words, I came up spoiled. I told her one day, it was last year, she's talking about the budget. I said, babe, you have to deal with the fact that we got money and learn to live with it. You all going to have to learn this fact. You all going to have to just deal with the fact we got a good football team. Deal with it. We are a player now in the NFL. We are a major force. Deal with it. Why? It don't hurt you guys. It ain't going to hurt to be part of a great team. Well, we're not great yet.
No, but you're not. You're not great.
Great call as always, buddy.
It's a great call.
Good to hear from you.
Good energy. Thank you. I hope that your burgundy and gold plate, you're eating your breakfast on, look pretty. I hope you're wearing, I don't know if you're wearing your, what jersey you're wearing today. I hope it's going well. He just compared Washington to San Francisco. He said Jimmy G and Heinicke were the same guy. And he said Debo and Curtis Samuel were the same guy. Pretty incredible. But it's a good phone call as always.
Now, my only response, you got some good specifics in there, is I didn't make up these quotes. I didn't go on a press tour. You see what I'm saying?
Like, he wants you not to talk about it. He wants you, by the way, all week long we've been talking about the Giants. He hasn't called him to talk about the game. He called him today to bitch about the fact that we weren't talking about the Giants.
And I'll wear this one because I'm riled up about it. Yeah, I will fully admit it.
For the record, I came in here wanting to talk about the Giants. We haven't gotten to do it yet because you're all frothing at the mouth.
I'm good now, though. Let's win off the field and then shift our momentum and eye line towards the Giants.
But calm down with your comparisons to San Francisco. Calm down. One of the two teams is coached by a guy that every team in the league would hire immediately if he was available. The other is coached by Ron Rivera. Okay? Settle down a little bit. But I'm happy that you're happy. It's a good thing that they're 7-5. I like the energy. keep that same energy. I didn't hear you screaming at anybody when they were 1-4, but I'm glad things are going well. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on Taylor Heinicke and Jimmy G being the same dude, though. And that's from someone who doesn't like Jimmy G very much. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play is next. What's going on in your lives? Nothing to do with sports. Today, we're winning off the field on this Friday. How are you in the win column? And at the top of the hour, we're giving away Caps tickets. We got two tickets. Could be yours. They had a great overtime game with the Kraken last night. They're playing that same team at home a week from today, and we're giving you tickets to that game. Got to be listening in 20 minutes. Then what happens? Oh, sure. Giving away Caps tickets at 4. That's in 12 minutes. Right now, we're winning off the field. Simple game. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Danny. Don't even do it for each other, yourselves. Do it for the legend, the man who can't be forgotten, the man who gave us a chance at obscurity as an organization for a decade, the great Bruce Allen.
We're winning off the field. But we got to start winning on the field.
Hashtag never forget. So, Danny, give people an example of an off-field win.
So, my oldest is playing in his little local rec basketball league. Okay. There was no practice this week. It was a weird week. I think someone was using the gym for like a play or a drama production or whatever. And so they go, we'll let you know there's going to be a practice this weekend. Likely either Sunday at 1 or Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Normally, it doesn't sound that bad, but all of a sudden, I got business tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You may be familiar. The United States of America is playing soccer against the Niederlander. And Sunday, your Washington football gentleman will be up there in the Meadowlands. Conflicts. Not thrilled about that, right? So I'm just waiting on the email. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know. Who can know? Who can know what time this thing is going to be? If I'm going to have a conflict, if I'm DVRing, do I have to put my fingers in my ears? La, la, la. Email comes in. It is neither 9:30 on Saturday or 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's a 10 a.m. Sunday situation for this week's basketball practice. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's how we do it.
I was living like a bachelor at the house this morning. And because of that, I slept in later today than I have slept in since the summer. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
In fact, last night, Danny, same situation. I watched football at a bar with some buddies and ate a half order of cheese fries.
Oh, wow.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
You get it? That's how it goes.
So I got one.
Go for it.
I've always wanted to do winning off the field, especially before I started working with you guys. I was always like, this is my favorite segment. I always want to call in. I think the one time I called in, I didn't make it on air or whatever.
Oh, no.
Ooh. Here I am. I'm living out my dream
that
now.
That stings a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So everybody yesterday was talking about how Brian Mitchell is going to bring in his famous gumbo.
Very famous.
Never had it before, but everybody does is talk about it. Now, when I hear gumbo, the first thing I think is it's going to have seafood in it. So I was like coming in today, not expecting to be able to try it because it was going to have shrimp or crab or something that would kill me in it. And Brian comes over. He's like, hey, did you get any gumbo? I was like, oh, I can't eat anything with seafood in it. He said, no, it's just chicken and sausage. Got to try the gumbo.
The Brian Mitchell gumbo.
And it was phenomenal. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
He makes one of the great gumbos in America. And I did eat some as soon as I got in today.
He's really such a good chef.
He is. Chef Brian. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy's in Columbia. Hello, Jimmy.
What's up, boys?
Hey, Bonic.
Happy Friday.
And to you.
Thank you so much. I found out recently, Christmas is coming up. Not only are we pretty much done with Christmas shopping, and my beautiful wife pretty much done with the wrapping, but originally we were going to see my in-laws in my house on Christmas Day. Now we will see them the week before Christmas with my wife's sister's family, so the attention will be divided, and I will wake up in a peaceful mood on Christmas morning. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
You say mood or nude?
I think he said nude, but also he's probably in a peaceful mood.
Either way, sounds good.
He'll be able to sleep nude, him in a good mood, I would say. Let's go to Brian in Georgetown. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brad.
Good afternoon, Commander Danny and Grant. Just wanted to say a few things real quick. You guys do a great job. I think I said this last time, but as a cancer caregiver, you guys kept me afloat for about 4 years. And winning off the field is definitely what I'm appreciative for this weekend. We have a meaningful December game. So Sunday will be junk food, watching a game that actually matters. And I hope we don't have another heart attack game. And I'll be happy with that. So for me, that's winning off the field. Thank you so much, both.
Winning off the field.
There it is. Important December football. Three of the greatest words in English language. Important December football.
That's what we're all here for.
That's the dream, man. That's all I ever wanted as a kid. I want this team playing games that matter at the end of the season, and it is happening. Andrew's in Damascus. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So I actually called it a few weeks ago, and my wife left me alone to play video games in Baltimore. Well, I still had to put my kids on. I have a 1- and a 3-year-old, Grant. I know you get it. Yesterday, she took the kids. I was home alone. Mm. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Me and Andrew are living parallel lives.
Worst case scenario, it's a Kevin McAllister situation. You know, like hijinks with burglars that are defeated with marbles and a couple hot doors and some ice. Best case, you can only dream.
I miss my kids when they go away for an overnight or whatever. I do. I'm calling them. I'm trying to get on a video call. They're cute. They're fun. I miss them. Silence in your house should not be taken lightly. The ability to just do whatever you want. You want to take your pants off and walk around? You can. You want to go to a sports bar and eat cheese fries? You can. Want to see a movie with your buddy Joey? You can. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. That's a gift. That's a big deal.
Winning off the field.
Dave's in Stafford. Hello, Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. You guys aren't going to believe this, man. I got a plate out. I got some pieces of cheese out of the refrigerator and dumped them on the plate. And then I grabbed a pack of Townhouse crackers and opened it up and dumped some crackers out on the plate. And I started putting them together and eating them. And I got to the end, and I had exactly the right amount of cheese to match up with the amount of crackers that was on my plate, dude.
I'm not sure that's
winning off the field.
Before. That is the unicorn.
It's the hot dog to the bun corollary, right? Yeah. Where it's never matched up once. No cheese display.
Clap it up, for yeah. Dave.
Do we have really, the applause? There's the big one.
Properly gets the segment and hit the ball out of the park.
I love we started with you guys are not going to believe this.
Right. It was a good round overall. Yes. A solid batch of calls there. You guys get it. You did it. We appreciate that. 5 o'clock, Nick Dow to the Capitals. 5:30, Scout the Opponent, Howard Cross, Giants Radio. Let's go blitzing next and give away a couple Caps tickets. Top of the hour on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.